This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، ولا عقبة للمتقين، ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، إله الأولين والآخرين، وأشهد أن نبينا محمدا عبده ورسوله المصطفى الأمين. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على عبدك ورسولك محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، Welcome to another episode of our tafsir page by page, and inshallah ta'ala today we are covering page 108, which is in the sixth juz of the Quran, Surah Al-Ma'idah. In the last couple of episodes, at the beginning of this surah, Surah Al-Ma'idah, which is the fifth chapter of the Quran, we've mentioned a number of rulings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us concerning, for example, food and that which is halal as opposed to that which is haram, and some of the other rulings that are pertaining to that. And all of these rulings, as we said in the last couple of episodes, fits into the overall theme of the surah. The theme of the surah is the covenants that Allah Azza wa Jalla and the pledges that Allah Azza wa Jalla has taken upon us. And from those covenants and pledges, we have the greatest of those pledges, which is the tawheed of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and to believe in Him alone and worship Him alone, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also then, from that single greatest pledge, we have many other pledges that form our agreement, if you like, with our Lord and Creator. And from those pledges are the pledges to worship Him and to abide by His commandments, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whether it is commandments to do, or commandments to stay away from, which we call prohibitions. So today in verse number 6, where we begin, is another set of commandments from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but this time to do with the issue of tahara and purification. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِذَا قُمْتُمْ إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ فَاغْسِلُوا وُجُوهَكُمْ وَأَيْدِيَكُمْ إِلَى الْمَرَافِقِ وَامْسَحُوا بِرُؤُوسِكُمْ وَأَرْجُلَكُمْ إِلَى الْكَعْبَيْنِ وَإِنْ كُنْتُمْ جُنُبًا فَاطَّهَّرُوا وَإِنْ كُنْتُمْ مَرْضَى أَوْ عَلَى سَفَرٍ أَوْ جَاءَ أَحَدٌ مِنْكُمْ مِنَ الْغَائِطِ أَوْ لَامَسْتُمُ النِّسَاءَ فَلَمْ تَجِدُوا مَاءً فَتَيَمَّمُوا صَعِيدًا طَيِّبًا فَامْسَحُوا بِوُجُوهِكُمْ وَأَيْدِيكُمْ مِنْهُ مَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِيَجْعَلَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِنْ حَرَجٍ وَلَكِنْ يُرِيدُ لِيُطَهِّرَكُمْ وَلِيُتِمَّ نِعْمَتَهُ عَلَيْكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ
O you who believe, when you are about to pray, wash your faces and your hands up to the elbows, wipe your heads, wash your feet up to the ankles, and if required, wash your whole body. If any of you is sick or on a journey or has just relieved himself or had intimate contact with a woman, and can find no water, then take some clean sand and wipe your face and hands with it. God does not, or Allah Azza wa Jalla does not wish to place any burden upon you. He only wishes to cleanse you and perfect His blessing upon you so that you may be thankful. As we can see in this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it is similar to a verse that we already covered in Surah An-Nisa, in which Allah Azza wa Jalla gave similar commandments in terms of tahara and wudu and the different types of purification that is involved for the believer. When we stand before Allah Azza wa Jalla, our Lord and Creator, to worship Him and to pray, and to show our devotion to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah Azza wa Jalla has obligated upon us that we are in a state of tahara, a state of purification. And there are two states of purification. The first of them is achieved by having tawheed and belief in Allah Azza wa Jalla, and that is the spiritual purification from shirk and from disbelief. And the second type of purification is the physical purification, which is to purify your body and your clothes and the place that you're going to pray upon so that it is clean and pure for this act of worship that is the salah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here gives the command to offer the salah. And He says, O you who believe, إِذَا قُمْتُمْ إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ, when you are about to stand to pray, which shows that this is something which is done before the salah. And as the scholars of fiqh have mentioned, the tahara is one of the conditions for the validity of your salah. So in order for you to pray and for that prayer to be correct and valid, you must be in a state of purification.
Number two, one of the benefits that we also get is that Allah Azza wa Jalla says that when you intend to pray, then, and then he goes on to describe the wudu. So that shows that the wudu is something which is only obligatory at that time and point when you want to perform the salah. So you don't always have to be in a state of wudu, however it is recommended to do so. It is always good to be in a state of wudu because the Prophet told us sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لا يحافظ على الوضوء إلا مؤمن. No one preserves that state of being in constant wudu except for the believer. And so that is something which is good and recommended. But it's not a must, it's not an obligation. However, when you want to come and pray now, so it's the time for dhuhr or asr or maghrib or isha or fajr or any other type of prayer. Because Allah Azza wa Jalla says, when you wish to intend to pray, and the word salah is general. So therefore, prayers that are not obligatory, so for example, the sunnah prayers, for example, the duha prayer, for example, the taraweeh prayer, all of these other prayers that are not obligatory prayers, they are optional voluntary prayers, but because they are still a salah, then likewise the condition for that is still the same, that you have to be in a state of tahara. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then goes on to describe the steps to performing wudu, and he mentions the major pillars of wudu. Number one is that you wash your faces, and that is that you take clean water and wash all over the face, including, for example, the men who have beards, that they wash their beards as well. وَأَيْدِيَكُمْ إِلَى الْمَرَافِقِ, and that you wash your hands up until the elbows and including the elbows. So the hand includes the hand, which is what we call the hand, all the way up to the forearm and including the elbow. And that is something which is important, because often people, a common mistake in wudu is that people will wash their arms but then neglect the elbow. They don't really always include the elbow within the washing of wudu, but that is something which is extremely important. وَمْسَحُوا بِرُؤُوسِكُمْ, and then wipe over your head, as is demonstrated in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam would take his hands and wet them, and then he would start from the beginning of his head and wipe all the way to the back, and then wipe all the way to the front. That is called in Arabic masḥ, to wipe. وَأَرْجُلَكُمْ إِلَى الْكَعْبَيْنِ, and wash your feet up until and including your ankles. And that is also something which therefore includes the heels, the back of the feet. And that's again something which people don't necessarily think about or are conscious of when they're making wudu. Often they leave the ankles or the heels in terms of washing their feet. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam on one occasion saw a companion who was washing his feet, and he had washed his feet except for a part of his heels. So the Prophet said to him sallallahu alayhi wasallam, وَيْلُ لِلْعَقَابِ مِنَ النَّارِ, beware of those heels touching the fire, meaning that your wudu is not full and correct. And because your wudu is not full and correct, therefore your salah is not full and correct and valid. And so these are issues which, even though they may seem simple or easy, or it's something which we've just become accustomed to because we've been doing it for so many years now, it is something that we should cause and have diligence with regards to. So we should be diligent in terms of our wudu. We should be conscious of washing each and every single part of the limbs of wudu in the manner in which it was prescribed by our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and before him by Allah Azza wa Jalla in this verse in the Quran. And to perfect the wudu, to make what is called in Arabic isbagh al-wudu, which is to perfect or complete the wudu, to do it in the best of ways and manners from the beginning to the end, which includes washing the nose and the mouth and wiping over the ears and all of the different elements of wudu that we know, to do that in the way that that has been described to us in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is something which is extremely rewarding. And it is something which a person should be conscious of, because the rewards for wudu and isbagh al-wudu are many and great, as mentioned in the sunnah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then goes on to a different form of purification, because the purification of wudu, the state of ritual purification, that is the state of wudu, is for minor ritual impurity. And minor ritual impurity is everything that is excludes, number one, intimate relations between a man and his spouse, and number two, the monthly cycle for a woman or postpartum bleeding. These two things, which is the bleeding of the woman and marital relations, these are what enter you into a state of major ritual impurity. Everything else which breaks the state of wudu is considered to be minor ritual impurity. So for example, akramakumullah, going to the bathroom, as a simple example, or passing wind. These break your state of wudu and they enter into a state of minor ritual impurity. How do we come out of that state of minor ritual impurity? We come out of it by performing wudu. That is one type of purification. And Allah Azza wa Jalla begins with it in this verse because it is the most common one that you will need. It is the one that you will need on a regular basis every single day, multiple occasions on a single day. And so that is why Allah Azza wa Jalla begins with it. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala moves on to the issue of major ritual impurity. And he says, when kuntum junuban fattahharu, and if required, or if you are in a state of janaba, which is major ritual impurity, then fattahharu, then wash your whole body, meaning make ghusl or take ghusl. The major ritual impurity, as we said, is when a person is in a state of major ritual impurity after they've had marital relations or ejaculation, and due to the bleeding of a woman, either from her monthly cycle or after childbirth, which is called postpartum bleeding. Those people in that category are in a state of major ritual impurity. For them, in order to be able to perform salah, they need to make a ghusl. So for the woman who's on a type of bleeding, she waits for that to finish and then she makes her ghusl. And likewise for the person who, because of some type of marital relations, then they've also come into that state of major ritual impurity, they must make ghusl. And the manner of ghusl is mentioned in detail in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah Azza wa Jalla doesn't mention it here in this verse. And the very least of that, or the minimum of it, is that you wash all of your body, including your head. That water touches every single part of your body. And by that, that is the minimum that you do. But there is a sunnah way of doing it, and that is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would begin by first washing his private parts, and then he would make a full wudu, and then he would wash his head, the right side before the left, and then his body, the right side before the left, and then he would finish sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so that is the sunnah way of making wudu, ghusl. But the very minimum is that you ensure that water touches all of your body. And for both wudu and ghusl, you have to have the intention beforehand in your heart that this is what it is that you're intending to perform. And that's what makes ghusl different to, for example, a normal shower that you may have every day, every morning, or that you may have, for example, on a hot day or for some other reason after you exercise. Those are just washing your body, and that is permissible. But ghusl and wudu are acts of worship. And so therefore, for every act of worship, you need a specific intention for that to be correct. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then gives to us a third form of purification. And that is the purification for those people who have valid excuses for one reason or another. They're not able to use water, either because that water is not present, they don't have any water, or because they have water but the use of that water would harm them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when kuntum marda aw ala safar, if one of you is traveling or is sick. So those are valid excuses. Now the person who's sick can't use water, maybe it's going to harm them even more because of a condition that they have. So not every sick person can't use wudu or can't use water. These are the people that can't use water because of their sickness, or it will exacerbate their sickness. Oh, ala safar, or people are traveling and so therefore they have very little water with them, or they've run out of their water. Oh, jaa ahadun minkum min al-ghaiti aw lamastum an-nisaa, and you are in a state now of having been to the bathroom or touched your women, meaning that you've had relations with them. So now you're in a state of impurity, either minor or major. Then what do you do? فَلَمْ تَجِدُوا مَاءَ, and you can find no water, meaning there's no water there that you can use. Because sometimes a person traveling, especially in the olden days, in the journeys that they used to have in the deserts, they would have water with them, but they needed that water to drink. That water was for them to drink. If they use that water for wudu, then they'll have no water left to drink. So those people are like the people who have no access to water. فَلَمْ تَجِدُوا مَاءً, you can find no water. فَتَيَمَّمُوا صَعِيدًا طَيِّبًا فَمْسَحُوا بِوَجُوهِكُمْ وَأَيْدِيكُمْ مِنْ. The translation that I have here is that then take some clean sand. But a better translation is take some of the earth, meaning touch anything upon the ground. And that is something which you can then use. You touch upon it with your hands and you wipe over it your hands and your face. And that is called tayammum. That is called tayammum. And tayammum is from the concessions that Allah Azza wa Jalla has given to us. And it is from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that when you're in that situation, you can simply use the earth. And even though you may not have access to water, the earth is something which everyone has access to. You just need to go and touch something that is earth, and then you can make your tayammum with that. And it is very easy, simply wiping over the hands and the face once, and it is done. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, concluding this verse, Allah Azza wa Jalla does not wish to place any burden upon you. He only wishes to cleanse you and perfect His blessing upon you so that you may be thankful. So Allah Azza wa Jalla has made the religion easy in terms of these types of issues, number one. And number two, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to be in a state of purity. Allah Azza wa Jalla wants us to be in a state of purification, because to be pure, both in heart and likewise physically in body, in limbs, then that is something which is good for the believer, which shows to us, as we know from the general sunnah, that when it comes to the salah, this is one aspect of the salah. But to have a general decorum of being clean, and of being in a state of hygiene and purity is something which is highly recommended. So to make sure that your clothes are clean and befitting for standing before Allah Azza wa Jal, to perfume yourself for the men, that is something befitting for them. To use the miswak before standing for the salah is something which is befitting. All of these things that show that a person should be in the best state. And on the opposite side, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever eats raw onion or raw garlic, don't let them come to our masjid. So those odors that would go against what is the general sense of cleanliness, that's something which is to be stopped and something which is to be avoided. And the companions used to say that if we found someone who used to have an odor coming from them like that, like onion or garlic, they've just eaten and come to the masjid, we would take them out all the way to Baqi'. Baqi' is the graveyard in Medina, not too far from the masjid of the Prophet ﷺ, but we would take them all the way out to that area. Meaning we wouldn't even let them go just close to the masjid because of the harm that it does. And the Prophet told us sallallahu alaihi wasallam that indeed the angels are harmed by that which harms the children of Adam. Just as me and you don't like the smell of raw garlic and onion coming from someone, then likewise the angels of Allah Azza wa Jalla don't like them either, those scents or those odors. And the angels come and they bear witness in the salah. They come to the masajid and they witness the prayer. And so therefore these are issues that are extremely important that Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions to us. And it is from a person's iman that they are conscious of their cleanliness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says in verse number 7, وَاذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ وَمِيثَاقَهُ الَّذِي وَاثَقَكُمْ بِهِ إِذْ قُلْتُمْ سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلِيمٌ بِذَاتِ الصُّدُورِ. Remember Allah's blessing on you and the pledge with which you were bound when you said, we hear and we obey. Be mindful of Allah, for indeed Allah has full knowledge of the secrets of the heart. And here Allah Azza wa Jalla is expressly telling us then that we should remember the blessing of Allah Azza wa Jalla upon us, as well as the pledge that we are bound with when we obeyed Allah Azza wa Jalla. We said, we hear and we obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is that the believer is someone who acknowledges the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. From the greatest of those blessings is the blessing of Iman and the blessing of knowing how to worship Allah Azza wa Jalla alone, and the blessing of fulfilling the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the blessing of knowing the beauty of this religion, Islam. And also that we then understand and remember that we have a covenant with Allah Azza wa Jal. To say that you're a Muslim or a mu'min or a believer, someone that accepts Islam, means and necessitates then that you're going to uphold the laws of Islam, that you're going to uphold obligations that Allah Azza wa Jal has placed upon you. And as we said, the surah often will mention this issue of pledges and covenants that Allah Azza wa Jal placed upon us and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placed upon the nations that came before us. As we will see shortly in the next episode, Allah Azza wa Jal will start speaking about Bani Israel and the covenant and pledge that Allah Azza wa Jal took upon them. So therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and remember the pledge that we placed upon you when you said, we hear and we obey. And that is that we have agreed by simply accepting Islam as our religion to hear and obey Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ, and be mindful of Allah, or fear Allah azza wa jal, and indeed Allah knows the secrets of your heart. Allah knows what you contain within your heart. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in verse number 8 then goes on to say, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُونُوا قَوَّامِينَ لِلَّهِ شُهَدَاءَ بِالْقِسْطَ وَلَا يَجْرِمَنَّكُمْ شَنَآنُ قَوْمٍ عَلَىٰ أَلَّا تَعَدِلُوا اِعْدِلُوهُ وَأَقْرَبُ لِلتَّقْوَى وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ. O you who believe, be steadfast in your devotion to Allah and bear witness impartially. Do not let hatred of others lead you away from justice, but adhere to justice, for that is closer to consciousness of Allah. Be mindful of Allah, for Allah is all aware of what you do. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives this instruction to the believers, that the believers are those people who should be steadfast in their religion to Allah Azza wa Jal. And that is because all of these laws that we've mentioned, and look at the beginning of the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us to respect and honor the symbols and the rights of Allah Azza wa Jal. And then He gives us rulings concerning our life, our everyday life, in terms of the dunya, and that's the food and drink that we consume. And then Allah Azza wa Jal gives to us also rulings concerning our religion, and that is the rulings of purification of wudu and ghusl and tayammum. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, be devoted to Allah Azza wa Jal. Therefore, in your dunya and in your deen, in your life, in terms of your worldly aspects, and in terms of your religious aspects as well. كُونُوا قَوَّامِينَ لِلَّهِ, And likewise, shuhada bil-qist, and bear witness impartially, meaning that you should be people of justice, people of honor, people of integrity, people who stand up for the truth, people who, whether it is something which goes for them or against them, they will stand up and they will speak the truth because they have the fear of Allah Azza wa Jal. And they're aware that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all hearing and all seeing and all knowing. And that Allah Azza wa Jal knows everything that takes place. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then goes on to say, وَلَا يَجْرِمَنَّكُمْ شَنَآنُ قَوْمٍ عَلَىٰ أَلَّا تَعْدِيلُ. Do not let hatred of others lead you away from justice. Because often it is people's emotions, what they feel in their heart, the animosity that they may have towards certain people, and on the other side, the love that they may have for others, that will cause them to be unjust. It will cause them to sway in terms of the stance that they should take. Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying here, don't let the hatred of others lead you away from being just, because you should always be just and always be fair, irrespective of those people who are in front of you. So even if the person who comes to you, you don't have a great deal of love for them, you don't have a great relationship with them, there's not a very good connection between you and them, but at the same time, you recognize that this individual is someone who, in this particular issue, is speaking the truth. In this particular issue, they're the oppressed. They're the ones who have been wronged. Then it is from the justice of the believer that he rights that wrong for them, that he gives to them their full right and their justice, even though they may not be the closest of people to one another. And that is something which shows a higher level of taqwa. As Allah Azza wa Jalla then goes on to say, اِعْدِيلُوا هُوَ أَقْرَبُ لِلتَّقْوَى, but rather adhere to justice, for that is closer to taqwa. It is closer to the piety and mindfulness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because this person who you don't have a great relationship with, the fact that you are willing to go and give to them the justice that they deserve, despite the personal animosity between you and them, shows that you're not necessarily doing it for them. It's not because you have a great relationship with them, or they're related to you, or you have some business dealings between you and them, or some other benefit from the dunya. You're doing that for Allah's pleasure. You're doing that because you're mindful of Allah. You're doing that because you have the piety of Allah Azza wa Jal in your heart. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, اِعْدِيلُوا هُوَ أَقْرَبُ لِلتَّقْوَى. Be people of justice that is closer to having taqwa. And so therefore, taqwa means to constantly be conscious and mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in every single situation. And sometimes a situation is a situation which dictates that you have to fight your nafs, fight your soul, fight your heart and desires, and fight what it is that you would rather want to do because of your ego and because of certain other things that you have within your personality. You fight them and you ward them off, you strive against them for a higher purpose, for a higher cause. And that is the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah Azza wa Jalla says, so fear Allah, and indeed Allah is well aware of that which you do. And Allah Azza wa Jalla loves and He gives the reward to those people who sacrifice for His sake and who strive against themselves for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In verse number 9, Allah Azza wa Jalla then says, وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ لَهُمْ مَغْفِرَةٌ وَأَجَرٌ عَظِيمٌ. Allah has promised forgiveness and a rich reward to those who have faith and do good works. And that is the reward. For those people of justice and taqwa who spend their lives with iman and with righteous deeds, Allah Azza wa Jalla has given them a promise. And the promises of Allah are never broken. Allah Azza wa Jalla doesn't go back on His promises. Allah's promises are always fulfilled. For them, they will have maghfirah, the forgiveness of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And they will have a great reward. And what more does a believer want than Allah's forgiveness and mercy and the reward that He has promised to them of Jannah? In verse number 10, which is the first verse of the next page, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, and it's the final verse that we'll take in today's episode, Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا وَكَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِنَا أُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ الْجَحِيمِ. And those who reject faith and deny our revelations, they will inhabit the blazing fire. So just as the people of iman and righteous deeds will have Allah's forgiveness and a tremendous reward, then those who don't have iman, they have disbelief, they rejected, and they disbelieved in Allah and in the messengers and in the revelations of Allah Azza wa Jal, they will be the people of the fire. That will be their abode. Rather than the great reward of Jannah, they will have the worst of punishments, and that is the fire. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us and our families and our loved ones Jannah, and may Allah Azza wa Jal save us all from the punishment of the fire. And with that, we come to the end of today's episode. Barakallahu feekum wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.